One. Good morning. I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, I'm so happy to have back in our studio the folks from GUS. Well, now we have the people who actually run it, not the gentleman David S. Rose who found it. We have Peter Swan and Ryan Nash, the CEO and COO of GUS. And Peter and Ryan, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Very excited to be here. Thank you, Derek.
Because we talked about in our pre-call interview, this is for entrepreneurs, and my alma mater, Seton Hall, has an entrepreneur program. So before we jump in, could you just introduce yourself to our audience a little bit about your education background, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. I guess I'll go first. We always ping pong this back and forth since our origin stories really overlap so much. Mm-hmm. But I went to school in Boston at Boston University. I graduated in 2005. I thought I was going to be a self-made architecture major with a music minor. I accidented into a computer science class, fell in love, and that kind of became my passion. And after I graduated, I ended up in New York City, playing music and doing all the things that you do in New York City as a young person. And then eventually found my way into a small development and design studio. And then found my way into my first startup, and that just kind of exploded my mind. And I've been in startups ever since, which I think is now 15 years working on and in them. That first startup was a music startup. And then I found my way to Gust, a startup that helps startups. And for the past almost 10 years, Ryan and I have been working on Gust together. And I guess that's a good place to hand off.
Right. Okay.
I'm happy for this interview already, just because it has unveiled one other thing that has similarities between Pete and I's background that I didn't know of. So I went to school at Binghamton University. I grew up right around the Binghamton area, which is also BU. Like, Boston University is often called BU, so that's creepy. I went for computer science in high school, and I hated it. The course I took, it just turned me off to the degree, even though I was a hacker, tinker, computer builder, modify, like learning program on the side to do other things. I thought I would be bored to death of the industry. So I went to school for art, got halfway through, transferred schools, and then I just couldn't get in any of the classes that I needed professor improvement for. It went to a mess. I just had to put classes on my schedule. I put computer science classes because I had a lot of STEM that first week. Changed my mind. I met professors that like opened up my world of like, computer science can be creative. Computer science can solve interesting problems. Never look back. I ran away from management for the first couple jobs of my career, eventually landing at Boeing with a manager that told me to embrace it. And so I moved from trying to be kind of a developer product person into just growing engineers and learning everything about how to like manage what I actually call creative professionals, you know, way beyond, even though they have a STEM background, the kinds of people that are attracted to that and love that field, the best ones, the best minds in it, are, it's almost like managing artists in a lot of ways. And I had a really good gig at Boeing, but one of my favorite engineers, who was like super productive in the right conditions, but super destructive if, you know, he was in a bureaucracy, just left one day after I'd created the best conditions in the world for his particular skill set. And he went to join this company called Gust. And he couldn't even tell me what the company did at the time with a good, I wasn't like trying to pressure him, because my management style was very much like, it's an alignment conversation. This is not like you work for me and you betray me while you leave. But he's like, I don't know, there's just something cool going on there. So I go over to Gus. 6 months later, he's like, hey, we need a CTO. Check it out. You should meet with David S. Rose, who you know, Daryl. And Dave and I spent way too long talking together about the future of the world, where Gus fits into it and whatnot. He convinced me, and I joined Gus 10 years ago. And interestingly enough, I joined, I think I said in the pre-call, I applied for the CTO role, was referred, but I was too young. So they're like, vice president of technology, does that work for you? The pay is the same, the responsibility is the same. I promise I won't hire anybody over you. I'm like, yeah, I don't care what I'm called. I just want to get in on this. Pete was my second hire, and probably the most senior developer on our team at the time, and grew into basically leading the entire technology team in a way that I was better than me from the technology standpoint. So I moved into people ops operations, you know, more of working across departments to try and get the most out of the engineering culture that we had built. And then 3 years ago or so, Pete and I kind of spun off a smaller version of the company and took on the C-level leadership. He jumped into the CEO spot. And he, for once, convinced me to stick with the Gust experiment rather than me convincing him throughout our history together. And we are where we are today.
Wow. See, this show is about leadership, and for you to bring him on and other roles and just say, hey, we just want to make this thing work. So let's put the best people in the best spots. That's really cool. That's really cool. So before we jump into mission control, let folks know, what is Gust all about? What does it do?
So Gust is really a startup that aims to help other startups. And we do that in a variety of ways. We started as a platform to help angel groups, organized angel groups, actually work together to source deals and due diligence and do deal screening. And then we built software to help accelerators do very much the same thing. And in the process, we created a common application so that founders wouldn't have to fill out a separate application for each of these groups. And then we kind of discovered, in order to actually get this investment, founders need to do a lot of setup that they may not be aware of. So we created Gust Launch that will help you form a Delaware C corporation that is optimized to be familiar to the people who will put money into your company. And then we acquired a cap table management solution to kind of fill out that whole entrepreneur kind of support software layer. And really that's brought us to where we are today. But really the mission of Gust is to make more big ideas into good companies and help more entrepreneurs do that from every angle.
In David's book.
Yeah. And really, you know, the Gust as a software and education platform is intended to be the embodiment of what David has written about, both from the investor and the entrepreneur focal points. And really everything we do is in service of bringing that stuff to people in the market, making it more accessible and turning it into software.
Nice.
Yeah, I think the accessibility and the scale of it is the big differentiator in the space, because you'll find there's thousands of organizations who want to help entrepreneurs, right? They're a university program. There's an accelerator, you know, there's an accelerator like YC that tries to, you know, start hundreds of companies and hook them up with the biggest VCs. And then there's your local chamber of commerce accelerator, which might provide 40 grand to try an idea out. What Gust has always been trying to do is to scale and lower the barrier of entry by increasing the education, providing the right tools at the right time, and really making it so that more and more people can actually tap into this. I think the reason Pete and I are so into this company, as long as we have been through the trials and tribulations and ups and downs, is because we are both engineer product minded people who like always wanted to tinker and wanted to build something of our own, but just lacked the personal network or the experience, or, you know, no MBAs on this side of the table, to where it's like, what is the difference between like hacking on a thing on the weekends and actually making a business or making something viable? And Gust is a conduit for us, for ourselves. You know, we're running it as a startup ourselves, as well as the rest of the world that can kind of touch our software and our people.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So when you think about mission control, when did this idea start? And I believe it has launched, right?
It has launched in its first kind of incarnation. The proof point we needed to tell ourselves that it was valuable enough to actually bring to market in an MVP style. But really the idea for it has been brewing for years. And you know, what we found was that as soon as we gave founders the ability to come on and create a corporation and manage equity and properly kind of paper their contractual relationships, mm-hmm. there are all these questions that still existed in between the person using the software and the outcome they actually wanted, all of these clarifications. So we started hosting office hours for people who had purchased the software to help them navigate kind of the additional questions that we couldn't answer just via email or chat level support. And then we realized like the misconceptions were so big, we needed to start just doing general education around some of these topics to reset expectations and really help people utilize the Gust platform for all the things that it could do. And then we realized, this is independently valuable. And we've learned how to do this in a way that is novel. And we've assembled a network of people who are like-minded in terms of how they approach this, which is education first. we lead with providing value and clarifying. We don't ask for customer relationship immediately because startups are cash strapped and it's difficult, right? So we've assembled this network of people who are all bought into this idea of leading with education and are all interested in the idea of supporting founders earlier than they can from a pure business standpoint. So what Mission Control is really designed to do is pull that out and basically provide a drop-in network for people, whether it's their first time starting a company or fifth. We find that lots of people still have misconceptions or misunderstandings that can derail a big idea. So really, this is the drop-in network of people and service providers and virtual sessions that is available for you as you are trying to turn an idea into a company to come get actual feedback from other people who are experts in the space to answer those questions, heck, to even form the right questions out of kind of this miasma of misunderstanding around equity and early structure, you know, to tell you what an 83B is and to tell you why Delaware and to answer all of the questions underneath outside of a billable hour structure, outside of a pre-existing network. You don't have to go and find the right lawyer. So it's an experiment. We're really excited about it. So far, the feedback we've gotten has been really encouraging, and it's really giving us, I think, a lot of motivation to pursue it. And yeah, we're really hopeful that it's going to be very valuable to founders. It's kind of what we wish we had had when we looked at it from the individual contribution standpoint and said, like, okay, what would it take for me to feel comfortable making that leap? And that's really what we've tried to put together.
I do want to provide a little bit of context for your audience because we are throwing around a Gust inside baseball terms a little bit. Pete mentioned it previously, Gust Launch is our kind of like SaaS product that does all the boring back office stuff for a founder. So if you knew what you were doing, or even if you don't, but if you trusted us based on our brand and our marketing site, Gust Launch is like the click next to continue to set up a company. We literally file your articles of incorporation in Delaware. We act as your registered agent. We help you set up, you know, governance, bylaws, do stock grants. You know, there's a ton of guardrails in there. But what we realize is like, even with the guardrails, you know, think of like an Excel file on steroids for your cap table where you can't do things that you shouldn't be able to do. We still had such a gap between inspiration of an entrepreneurial idea and actual execution of a real business. Mission Control is the product that we're kind of building on top of Gust Launch, which is hilarious because Gust Launch is built on top of a cap table solution. Mission Control is built on top of the guardrails of Gust Launch. And it's really we're extending the space flight metaphor quite, you know, extremely. But like Mission Control is the idea of like, hey, even if you had all the knobs and buttons in the flight plan and you had all this information and these power tools to do it, what's like, you know, when do you press the button? Like how often, when's the right time? And so we're trying to scale it through software and through people, but we're trying to be the Mission Control solution for anybody starting something wherever they're coming from.
You know, I was going to get to that question of where did the name came from, but now you've explained it. But I guess, you know, hearing the Boeing thing early on.
You know. He came up with Mission Control, actually. So I wanted to call it Ground Control because I nerded out and I went down into like Ground Control does the really boring stuff. It's literally like it's everything before the rocket takes off. So it's like trucks that literally move fuel between buildings and open up warehouses and like salt the roads if it's whatever. I'm like, that's the boring stuff we're great at. But Mission Control is a little bit more aspirational and it also gives us some room because like post-launch, you know, mid-flight, return to orbit, you know, escape velocity. There's a lot of fun stuff we can do.
Oh, that is great. And I remember the early days that Gust was, there was no charge for. I mean, there's like some years ago. What are the offerings now and what are the pricing for the offerings?
So from an entrepreneur standpoint, we have two primary offerings in market now. The first is Gust Launch, which as Ryan mentioned, will help you incorporate, give you access to kind of early legal agreements, allow you to issue equity to founders, give you a cap table. That starts at $300 per year. There is a middle tier with a little bit more access to things like issuing safes and convertible notes to bring in early capital. And then there's a third tier that when you're bringing on that first handful of W-2 employees and you're looking to start granting stock options or establish an equity incentive plan, includes all the things you need to do for that. So that's a yearly subscription that covers registered agency and access to the cap table management software, very software-based product offering. And then what we are launching now under the Mission Control banner is going to be a flat rate $99 a month subscription. You can cancel anytime, but basically if you are actively pursuing this and you need a network of people to help you navigate and a network of people to utilize when we help you identify those critical, strategic, and forward-looking issues, then we think it's a pretty economical approach to leveraging kind of the network we've built and the goodwill we've built to help you.
That's a lot of intellectual capital. Wow. A lot of that.
And you know, I should say we are not lawyers and we are not accountants. So you will not be getting, you know, direct legal advice from us about your company.
Right.
But in terms of people who have a perspective across kind of the different pieces of how all of this works, ours is pretty wide. So what we can do is really help you understand the different pieces when you need them, when to seek those professionals. And we've built a network of those professionals that are willing to give us discounts because of the relationship that we have. So, you know, our hope is that we can save people a lot of mistakes that will be costly down the road, and that we can save you at least a billable hour per month from a lawyer or an accountant. We can't replace them. Every startup needs a lawyer. We have assembled a network of great ones, but our goal is to help you optimize your billable hour time for strategic needs. And we can help you figure out what those look like and when they're necessary and when they're distractions.
Very nice. And of course, it's at your main site that all of these offerings are there, which is gust.com.
That is correct. And we are currently developing the marketing material for the new Mission Control program. We began the Mission Control offering by launching what we thought of as an intensive. So it was a 6-week program that had kind of a structured curriculum and an intended outcome just to exercise all of the operational mechanisms and see if this was valuable to people and if we felt comfortable about that value exchange and whether everybody else was really excited about it as well. So we just finished that 6 weeks, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, I think this would be week 8 technically since we pulled the trigger.
And now we are kind of revamping these things to launch the subscription.
What were those live courses?
So what we did was we used pre-recorded educational material based on a whole bunch of the sessions that we'd coordinated in the year prior. And then we had live sessions every Wednesday and Friday. And Wednesday was designed to really dive in. Like, okay, you watched this stuff. You know what your endpoint looks like. Where are the misunderstandings? What questions do you have? What blockers do you have? So Wednesday was all about that. Let's get a bunch of questions. Let's get founders together to hear the answers and the questions so they develop a better holistic understanding. And then on Friday, we would have what we call the recap and review, which was designed to say like, okay, you've got an outcome. You've got a pitch deck now, or you've got a financial model, or you've got a profile, or you've got a story. Come tell that story, come present that narrative or that outcome in front of your peers and some experts and get real feedback. Give them the opportunity to flex those muscles, because as founders, as entrepreneurs, everything you do comes down to telling that story and pitching, and then get some real actionable feedback. And you know, not everybody presents every week, but everybody gets to see what it looks like to contend with real feedback on a real work product and benefit from that. So we're going to try to keep both of those structurally. So time to answer questions and dive deep into topics and explore, and then also time to present kind of artifacts and outcomes along the journey. So things like pitch practice or financial model teardowns, where you get actionable advice coming out of kind of the deconstruction of something that somebody's actually utilizing to build a business or fundraise for a business or both.
Wow. Wow. That is awesome. And how many people are, do you limit the number of people in the 6-week program, or is it unlimited?
We did. We said that we were not going to accept more than 50 people. And we nailed that exactly. So our first cohort was just about 50 folks, and they ran through the 6-week program. And we're going to continue to run an application process for the subscription just to make sure that we have conversations with people as they come in, align expectations and make sure it's a good fit. You know, you could consider this a beta, I suppose, but, you know, we're at the point where we're doing things that don't scale so that we make sure that we are able to do things that do. So it'll be pretty high touch for these first few months as we roll people in. And we want to make sure that we have the operational capacity to provide the value we want to provide. One of the nice things about Gust is, you know, when Ryan and I took it over, we made an effort to bring it to profitability and a default alive state. So now we have the luxury of building kind of bottoms up and really building out of that do things that don't scale, those organic connections, and building layer by layer to achieve the type of scale that we're shooting for, rather than having to kind of blitz scale at all costs to justify a growth story. So we know that this space in particular has had prior failures around trying to scale it too quickly, because scaling community, scaling education delivery, they're hard problems. So we are going to try to take this slowly and build brick by brick to make sure that the connections are being made, the value exchange is there. So we don't have a hard limit of how many people that means, but we're thinking very critically about, okay, what does the number of people mean for operational capacity? What software needs to sit there? What people need to sit there to make all of this successful? And we've got a whole bunch of experience kind of doing that outside of this launch over the past few years.
What I'd say, being outcome focused with the people that go into the program, I think a lot of the previous attempts at just like blitz scaling a kind of thing, because the need is there. I think one of the most dangerous things in the startup space is selling hope. And I think there are so many products that get so much early attention that they can raise hundreds of millions of dollars if they're selling hope to their customers, but you run out. If you can't deliver on hope, and most companies cannot, because especially entrepreneurs, because what you really are is you're trying to give them the position to succeed on their own merits. You are not handing them success. If anybody figures out how to sell success at a dollar value, they are the richest person in the world. They could sell that to 8 billion people and get everybody's money if it worked. And I believe that will never work. Like, we're always going to change the marketplaces and the economies and technology to where there will be no foolproof way to sell hope and success. So really, we want to be sure that, you know, the people we focused on for the intensive, and then the first, you know, handfuls and dozens and hundreds of people that come in through the subscription, we're seeing outcomes for them as much as we are seeing growth in our own program, because that means it's going to work and it's going to continue to work and build on itself. It's not going to try to go to the moon and then crash down to Earth, staying within the rocket metaphor.
There you go. Interesting. It seems like you have a lot of data. And I'm just wondering, with what you have learned over the last few years with this data, have you considered to publish what we call a peer-reviewed article, because you have all this great data and outcomes, and that some people might want to call it a white paper, but something about a peer-reviewed paper, it goes the next level above a white paper. Have you considered that?
We have, and we've dabbled with those things in the past. The difficulty is, you know, we're starting to stitch all of this together now in a way that we haven't before. And startups by nature are a relatively small ecosystem even to begin with. And right now we are working with an even smaller subsection of that. So I think our purview right now is that if we can start small and if we can achieve outcomes, then actually successfully scale it to the next concentric circle of growth, that will build eventually towards something that we can publish research on in a way that we are confident in. But looking back at all of the retrospective data, when we weren't actually attempting to do what we're doing now, comes with some really interesting challenges. In terms of correlation and causation, and even just like looking at it from the lens that we have with how we're moving forward. I think it would be possible, but it would be fraught in a couple different ways We've had to do it in some ways to motivate our product development, but the level of rigor you need to justify a hypothesis and continually test it is certainly very, very different than the level of rigor we would want if we were to peer review and say, like, okay, Gust does help with a more successful outcome. We're a few hops away, I think, from something verifiable there.
Well, believe it or not, we have just a couple of minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun. I want to give you gentlemen the last word about Gust in the mobile launch mission control.
Well, we hope that if you are considering starting something or really love building things, but not sure you understand what it means to build a business, if you think you might be interested in this someday, but don't understand how fundraising works or have never run a company, come check us out. It's a pretty low price point, and you get to come and talk with us and learn. And if you love it, great. We'll help you point in the right direction. And if you don't, that's totally okay too. But we hope you'll give us the opportunity.
Yeah, we might as well put the thing. If you go to gust.com, G-U-S-T, .com, you can create a free account. We do still have a whole free software suite to help founders out with a bunch of tools that are very valuable to give you the high level stuff. I think you'll see kind of our brand positioning. And if you want to dig more, I believe gust.com/mission control will eventually be where the full product and subscription is when we launch it shortly. And the last thing is, I would say, me personally, the way I sell it is, Pete and I have had, I don't know if in the startup space, there's often something known as the customer aha moment, which is when you realize that the value that you intended to provide was actually received in a both emotional and value way to your intended customer. Pete and I have had so many aha conversations with founders throughout the years, you know, running this. So much stuff just got buried into our head because we had to build software product around this, that we became experts in a field that I don't think even, I even talk to lawyers who have incorporated hundreds of companies who have IPO'd their own company and things like that, and give them a question where they're like, I can't really remember how that works. And Pete and I can just like get it off the cuff because we've just been steeped and immersed in it. So if you engage with our product and our community, I guarantee you within like a 20 to 30 minute window, you will have an aha moment. If you've been blocked on like, well, why would I incorporate a company in Delaware when I live in New York? Or like, why wouldn't I just sell shares to investors for money? Or like, can't I just, you know, do an LLC locally and like, you know, bootstrap my way to things? We will give you aha moments to really like translate how the world really works when it comes to building companies of this scale and caliber. So check us out. We would love to have you, and you would actually get to talk to Pete and I at some point in the process for whatever that is worth to you now that you've listened to us for 28 odd minutes.
Well, you know, one quick thing, it seemed like there needs to be a Gust conference. Have you thought about that, or have you done that?
Oh man, in the past, we used to have a conference called Venture Forward, which was opulent. It was in the heydays of fundraising and the startup growth and the bubble and things like that. We haven't touched that in a while. It is something that we would love to do. I think we are trying to build, like Pete said, we are building the groundwork brick by brick to really have those outcomes for founders in a direct distributed way that we can really build off of. But I think, you know, we're distributed. Pete's in Nashville. I'm right outside of New York City and New Jersey. We got people in Austin. We got people in Chicago and Vermont. We should probably get somebody out on the West Coast again. We used to have people all over the place. We even had global people. But I would love to grow this to this, you know, point where I'd love a launch pad intensive customer 2 years from now being like, I met you guys when I went through this crazy, you know, virtual program. And like, I got so behind, like I wanted this whole thing. It would be a delight. But definitely, Darrell, you know this. Everything's on the roadmap. The prioritization just bumps it, you know, into what you're going to do next.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank our guests, Peter Swan and Ryan Nash, the CEO and COO of Gust. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on the program. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. It's great to talk about this stuff. This was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you again. Anytime.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up this weekend on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM, streaming on the net at WSOU.net. I want you to have a great day. But remember, leadership begins with you.